Hey, America.
Start listening now.
Hey, guys, pass me one of those great tonics tea cakes that we had last week.
We're out of them, dude.
What?
We ate them all. They only come in a pack of six.
Oh, son of a... Hello and welcome to 12 Points from America, a Eurovision podcast from America, the new scent from Calvin Klein. I'm Eric.
I'm Samantha.
And I'm Danny.
And this week we are talking about how all of these Eurovision songs become Eurovision songs.
Ah.
How
so
a bill.
How it all begins.
How a bill becomes a law.
And then gets banned in Ukraine.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All right, got it.
So Sam, does a lowly song sit on the steps of Congress until some weird kid walks up and says, "Hey, what's going on, Mr. Song?"
Steps of the EU building.
Yeah, and then
it's picked up by a dude from Turkey who says, "I have money and I can sing for San Marino."
Mm-hmm.
And that is how Babi formed.
That is how Babi is formed.
Well, this has been a great episode.
There are a whole bunch of ways that different countries pick their songs. They're basically, in a nutshell, three ways of doing it. You can either have an internal selection where a broadcaster says, "Hey, you have song, you sing for us." And sometimes it's kind of done sort of behind the scenes where it's like, "Hey, we'll open up the floodgates and anybody can send a song behind closed doors to the studio or to the national headquarters of the broadcaster, and we'll pick the best one." And
it's just an elaborate screening process.
Yeah.
They get sent video after video.
Either video after video, audio clip after audio clip. It really kind of depends on the country and what they're feeling that year.
Okay.
But it's generally done behind closed doors by a small panel of people. Sometimes it's just the people who are going to be on the delegation and running the scenes at Eurovision proper for that country. Sometimes they'll make it a little bit of a wider net and they'll ask crazy folks like Eric and myself, as we were asked to do for Bulgaria a couple years ago.
That's true.
That was fun.
That was fun.
And then
I enjoyed that.
Yeah, and then sometimes it's just, "Hey, I got a song... person knows person knows person," and that's how we ended up with Duncan Lawrence for the Netherlands this year.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
As I recall, that worked out pretty well for them.
Yeah, it didn't suck. Yeah.
Yeah.
He wasn't going up against Aka Bulba.
Few are.
Yeah.
Few. Friends, take a moment. Pause this podcast. We'll be back when you're done. Hop on YouTube and look up the song Potato Aka Bulba.
That's A.K.A. Bulba.
In Cyrillic.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You won't regret it. And you may have it stuck in your head for the rest of your life. So maybe you will regret it.
As a matter of fact, why don't we play a clip from it right now?
Yes.
I'd say I'm sorry, but I'm not.
Nope. No regrets. None whatsoever.
Is that correct, though? Was Aka Bulba? Because if I'm remembering correctly, the clip is they're performing on a stage. Is that sometimes the process by which a national delegation or a channel or a broadcaster selects?
Well, that's...
It's like they have live performances sometimes?
Sometimes. And that is actually leading into the next form of doing a national final.
Yes.
Or, yeah.
Not the final form.
No.
Yes.
Well, this is technically the final form because it's the national final.
Right.
And this is where a national broadcaster will say, "Hey, send us the songs," and then we'll let the public decide. Or the public and a jury kind of mix together. And then you have, in this case, this Potato Aka Bulba song was part of the, I guess you could say, the long list for Belarus this year.
Right. That was Belarus.
Whatever list was the longest that
yes.
one was on, because... And this is probably worth noting, that song did not make it to Eurovision. It did not make it to the finals to get to Eurovision.
Nope.
No.
But it won in the hearts and minds of several people at this table.
Yes.
Yes. Oh my God, yes.
Instead, the tastemakers in Belarus decided to send...
Like It.
A song.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, they sent Like It.
Doesn't
because
always...
they did.
So a country like Sweden that does Melody Festival in every year,
yeah,
that is a national final.
That is probably the grand dam of national finals. That is the ultimate...
The Helen Mirren of national finals.
Yes.
In Sweden,
Dame national final,
it's
yes.
about on par with, if not bigger than Eurovision itself.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. The ratings numbers in Sweden on an annual basis are basically like Eurovision and local, you know, major soccer stuff in third place, Melody Festival in second place, and I believe the Christmas showing of a Donald Duck cartoon tends to be the number one thing.
That's right, they do that.
Yeah, Kalle Anka. They're very big on Donald Duck over there. I don't know.
All of Scandinavia really like Donald Duck.
I know. Something about a duck without pants.
Are they also one of those countries that watches Dinner for Two every New Year's, too?
Dinner for One? Is that the one with the...
Dinner for
the
One. Yeah. That's right. Dinner for One.
Oh,
I know Germany does that. Germany loves
Germany.
It.
Yeah, right. That's Germany. We're going to get back to Germany later.
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
Now, how many times has Donald Duck been in Eurovision?
None to my knowledge, but the Irish did once send a turkey.
Ah.
Lovely.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
good.
That didn't end well for anybody involved.
So, just for me, break down, say, Melody Festival and step by step.
Okay.
From the beginning, moving to, say, Benjamin Ingrosso winning for some reason.
Oh, bless his little heart. All right, so... Every year, people know that Melodifestivalen is the biggest show in town when it comes to Swedish pop music. Studios will send tracks, independent artists will send tracks to SVT, the national broadcaster, and say, we want to go, we want to go, we want to go. And, you know, literally thousands of demos and thousands of tracks are sent to SVT. And through a selection process that is winnowed down to approximately, I think it's 8 songs throughout 4 different semifinals.
By what means? By what winnowing means?
Through...
Is this a jury?
Yeah,
like
basically a behind-the-scenes jury of SVT executives. Sometimes it's done through, you know, a couple of very select fans get a sort of behind-the-scenes look and help select. And it's done by, you know, big names and, you know, up-and-coming stars. It's a really interesting mix.
And these are, like, hundreds and thousands of entrants,
yes,
right?
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
Right.
Well, not hundreds of thousands. Hundreds.
No,
of,
hundreds
yeah,
and thousands.
Thousands.
Hundreds
yes.
plus thousands.
Hundred, yes,
1,700.
It's sprinkles of entrants. Hundreds
yes,
of thousands.
So, like, the jury, that's good, because then Sweden is, like, using a jury to cut down, like, all of these crazy entrants.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I
so
mean, like, a joke finalist
yeah,
happen.
You
we don't want, like, Mountain Dew flavor thing to happen.
Oh, no. I highly doubt a thing like Potato Akapulpa would happen in Sweden, even though they have had, like, very tongue-in-cheek songs in the past.
They take it pretty seriously. Like,
they take it pretty seriously.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Norway had a couple of pretty wild ones this year, I thought, by their standards.
Oh, yeah. Hank von Hell.
Hank von Hell.
Oh, yes.
His like, official contest photo page was just him flipping double birds at the camera. He didn't
double
make
deuce.
It. Yeah.
A double deuce.
Yeah.
A double deuce.
Nope. But he was fun while it lasted.
So after
right,
the
so
selection
after,
happens,
okay.
after we get our curated 8.
Well, it's 8,
or,
but it's 4 semifinals, 8 songs apiece.
Oh, okay. So that is pretty extensive.
Yeah, so it is literally weeks and weeks and weeks. And as the current format is now, the top 2 out of each of these semifinals go directly to the final.
Mm-hmm.
However, the songs that come in 3rd and 4th go to what they call a second chance round, the Andra Chansen.
Ah.
And that is done the week after the last semifinal.
Okay.
So
this is like a wild card playoff.
Basically.
Okay.
And normally, depending on the year, 2 to 4 songs out of those 8 that go to the second chance round make it to the final. As far as I know, only 1 song from the second chance round has ever made it and won Melody Festival.
Mm-hmm.
That was a song from 2013, You by Robin Quenberg, which is a fun little uplifting number. Because of you! But generally, it's you kind of see what some of the favorites are as soon as the songs are announced. Oftentimes, you'll see the songs that are in the last spot in the running order of each individual semifinal. That's kind of the ones that you think, all right, these are the ones that the producers kind of want to win.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, you make it to the final after weeks and weeks and weeks of hype and gossip. The front page on the gossip columns, and everybody's really excited about it. Massive viewing numbers. And you finally make it down to the final of Melody Festival.
Which is 10 to 12
approximately,
songs
yes.
for the big final?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that is decided on by a mix of public televote from the Swedish public,
mm-hmm.
through a mix of telephone, text, and app voting, which makes for some very interesting demographics.
It's Sweden.
It's Sweden. So. It's Sweden. But because they bring in the app, it brings in a lot of younger viewers.
True.
And they'll also blend that with a international jury.
International jury. It's like mini Eurovision.
Yeah, it basically is. And that's one of the reasons why Sweden tends to do pretty solidly at Eurovision, because they have a component of their national final that is internationally facing.
That's right.
Yeah. So it makes things really interesting. Sweden, like I said, is one of the most complex and one of the most, I guess you could say, rooted in tradition national finals. It's been doing this in some permutation or another since they started at Eurovision back in the early 60s.
What other countries do national finals? Like, which of the, like, the core eight or core six do national finals?
It can change year by year. There have been years that Russia will go internal and just pick their song independently. And then there'll be some years that they'll do a national final. They haven't done it in a couple of years. But that's the national final system brought us the Buranovsky Babushki, the grannies from Russia. So that worked out pretty well.
So what you're
them.
Saying is that Russia should go back to that.
maybe.
A proud Russian tradition.
But yeah, Germany has a national final. We'll talk more about that in a little bit.
Uh-huh. Portugal has a national final.
Spain?
Spain has sort of an interesting thing going on. Spain?
They have a hybrid?
Kind of a hybridized thing. It's sort of a corollary to a reality show the last couple of years.
Oh, that's how they got those two young kids like 2 years ago.
Yeah. That they'll have this Operación Triunfo, Operation Triumph, which is it's basically an idol.
Code name Operation Triumph.
so they'll have.
I love it.
It's pretty bold coming from Spain. Triumph of what exactly?
What that triumph done since 1550?
Oh. Wow.
I went there.
Yeah, we can't talk him out of that joke. Sorry, that was about
go on.
Yeah, that was about 50 years off, but anyway.
Yeah.
So they basically have an idol type show, but then they'll have a special show where each one of the contestants has a song and then they can vote independently. But like the winner of Operación Triunfo is not necessarily the one that goes to Eurovision. Like Mickey, who sang for Spain this year, only came in sixth in OT.
Mm. All right.
So, but he had the song and people wanted it. So
yeah, I think the other big national final that I don't know that we mentioned is San Remo in Italy, upon which basically the entire contest is based.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Exactly. Yeah, it was really inspired by that. And so a lot of fans look at San Remo as Eurovision's grandpa.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's very traditional. It's Italy picking a song for Italy, and Eurovision is very much an afterthought for that, which is a really cool dynamic.
It is, and it's remarkable how well they do considering that.
Yeah, because I mean, like we were saying, Sweden has this sort of outward-looking, you know, international jury, and it's a big thing of it. Italy has none of that. It is all domestic. It's a public televote.
Mm-hmm.
It is the vote of a jury, domestic jury, Italian jury, and also the vote of the press pool. Within
critics.
Yeah, critics at San Remo. But it's all Italian all the time. And the winner has basically the right of a first refusal if they want to go to Eurovision or not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I was looking at this a few days ago, and I just remembered to bring it up now in terms of national selections, because this one seems very strange to me for this year in particular, and that's Switzerland. So I think technically Switzerland had an internal selection.
Yes.
But from the looks of it, in the summer and fall of last year, they released a list of 13 songs that were in the running. And of note, Sabalter was in here.
Mm-hmm.
Their rep from 2014 did that really fun song. Hunter. Yeah, with whistling and violin. It was great.
Explosions.
The Eurovision Big Three.
Yeah.
So they narrowed this down to a few songs, and there was some amount of public feedback on which songs would be chosen among those. And then, in March, they picked none of them and went with She Got Me, which I listened to a few of these songs. That was definitely a good move on their part.
Oh, okay.
I mean, She Got Me is great.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these other songs were just sort of like whatever.
They literally just held a poll and went, tell us what you think. And then they went, all right, what you think is garbage. We're going with Luca Honey.
that's what it looks like. They had this sort of formal process, and then they just threw it out.
Well, if I'm remembering correctly, actually, can I take a look at the over your shoulder here and check that out? All right, you know what? It's because Switzerland is actually four broadcasters in one.
And for all of the languages?
Exactly. And the list that you're looking at, that 13 songs, was just from the Italian-speaking part of the country. So the RSI, that broadcaster, submitted the top grouping of songs from that short list, or that long list, I should say, and provided a short list to the sort of overarching council of elders that oversee Switzerland at Eurovision.
In the Fortress of Doom.
So, overlooking Lac Lucerne, the fortress of doom determines the next Eurovision entrant. We select Luca Hani, and it's like straight out of like the beginning of Hunger Games. His little sister actually was the one who was selected, and then Luca Hani was like, I volunteer as tribute. So then he goes to Eurovision.
My sister, Hannah Hani.
Hannah Hani, no, I volunteer. He's Italian now.
Yeah. Shame that Luca Hani is dead now.
Oh.
That's not true. Luca, we love you.
Luca.
Good friend of the podcast.
can get that Luca Honey sponsorship this week.
Yep.
But so Luca Honey is actually from the German-speaking part of Switzerland.
Could only assume.
So.
He has that kind of accent.
Oh, yeah. He's got an umlaut in his name. Chances are he's from the German speaking.
What's the Swiss language? What's like the native Swiss
Romanche.
Language? That's it.
Romanche. It's very, not very widely spoken.
Are there any broadcasters in Romanche?
I think they're like program. There's programming, and I think there might be some radio stations in Romanche, but it's very niche, and it's more just preservation rather than, you know, you're not having a massive swath of Romanche language.
Which it sounds like. Has Switzerland ever entered a Romanche song?
Once, actually.
Oh, really?
I believe in 1989, the year that they hosted. And like, you know what, if that's the year that we get to show off Switzerland at its most Swiss, then that's...
That's nice.
Yeah, and it was, I think Romanche... I can read Romanche a little bit, so it's Romance-based language, but with a lot of German influence in there.
It sounds like yodeling.
No, that's Romanian.
Oh, that's right.
Let us never speak of that song.
Do we have a clip of that one?
Oh, God. Yeah, and for the record, that song was not from Switzerland. It was from Romania, even though the song was shopped to a Swiss artist.
And I'm just going to reiterate, I would say I'm sorry, but I'm not.
Who else does internal selection? Who else does reliably a internal selection? The UK, don't they usually send an appointed person?
Not in the last couple of years, they've actually done a national final, small national final.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they narrow it down a lot and then do... sort of a little.
Then they have a jury that selects the person from...
It's a public televote, but unlike many other national finals, the UK does not actually release the results of that televote.
They just kind of say,
they just said, you win, and, you know, the rest is kind of history.
Mm-hmm.
For a while, they did do a stretch of internal selections with very, very middling results. 2011, they had Blue with I Can, which is, very favored to win, and in the end, it didn't. But it came, I think, 11th place altogether, and I think maybe top five with the public, but the jury vote kind of tanked it. But then they sent Engelbert Humperdinck.
That's right.
Resurrected from his vampire coffin, rises up to return to Eurovision.
Yes. We don't speak of Engelbert much. But then again, to be fair, from what I can tell, Engelbert doesn't really speak of Eurovision very much. He doesn't look back on the experience very fondly, which is a shame.
What about France? What does France do?
They went internal for many years, but now they're just dipping their toes back into a full national final again. Destination Eurovision, Destination Eurovision.
Yes.
And that brought us Bilal Hassani this year and Madame Monsieur the year before.
Yes. And I really like them.
That was good.
They were really good.
Do the majority of countries that regularly participate in Eurovision, or from year to year, is it majority, national final?
It's a decent split.
Okay.
It's a decent split. I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but...
Like
it,
a nice 40% do national final, a nice 40% do something close to internal selection?
Approximately. And it changes year by year.
And there's 7 or 8 countries that do something really weird?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I mean, and then there are definitely the hybridized selections. And just looking at this year's, or this past year, I should say, 2019, there are a couple of countries that spring to mind.
Is this the Germany weirdness?
We'll get to that. It's coming.
Yes, we have.
It's coming.
When selection processes go wrong. Yeah, that's coming up soon, so stay tuned, my friends. But this year, they had sort of hybridized national finals for a couple of different countries.
Sure.
Malta and Israel both had talent shows, for lack of a better term. Malta had their first season of the X Factor Malta. The X Factor Malta, which was lovely. And the winner, who was Michaela, got to go to Eurovision. So it was a public selection for the singer, but the song itself was selected behind closed doors.
Oh, okay. That is weird.
Yeah. And that also happened with Israel.
So basically Malta voted on the talent that they wanted to see sing a song.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then Malta went, she'll sing this song.
Exactly.
She'll sing this one, damn you.
I mean, that's how Toy got made.
That is exactly how Toy got made.
I want to see a meme that's like from Phantom of the Opera where Christine is Michaela and then the Malta delegation just says, sing for me. That's it. All right, we can move on now.
Danny, we love you and your theater.
And then
keep an eye on Twitter
on Facebook
12 Points USA for that meme.
For me doing my best Microsoft Paint meme version of the Phantom of the Opera.
This, my friends,
it's on its way.
This, my friends, is how we get Danny on Twitter.
Working on it right way. So what did Israel do?
Israel, for the last couple of years, has had a show called Rising Star, which I cannot pronounce off the top of my head in Hebrew, but Rising Star is what they call it. Rising Star for Eurovision. And they picked a singer through that, and then they paired the song with them later. So very much like multi-selection. A couple years ago, they had the same sort of setup where they had the singer, and they selected the singer, but then there were permutations of the singer and the song. So that would have been 2016. They picked the singer Hovi Star, who performed on the show Rising Star, a song called Made of Stars. But there were two, I think,
we got a star on our flag. What do you expect?
Actually, yeah. There were stars all over the music video. But yet he and another singer were both given different versions of Made of Stars. His original version was kind of mid-tempo rock, and hers was more of a Middle Eastern kind of flair.
All right.
And then he won, and then they ended up changing the dynamic of the song entirely, and they turned it more into a ballad. So it was, so the viewers didn't really get what they voted for, but they got him. And frankly, he was a delight.
Yeah.
He was sassy as hell. I loved him.
So we've got these different methods.
Mm-hmm.
Sam, in your opinion, you've been doing this longer than either of us have. Yes. Yes. Dirt.
Longer than dirt.
Yeah. What do you think is the best way to pick a good Eurovision song?
I don't think there really is the right way, because the last couple of years we've had... Okay, so 2019's winner was purely an internal selection.
Mm-hmm.
Duncan Lawrence was a alum of The Voice of Holland, and he was on the team of Ilse de Lange, who was part of the Common Linnets, the group or the band that came in second place at Eurovision 2014.
Oh, I'm aware.
Oh, I know. I'm just re-educating the folks.
Like a whole dynasty there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Ilse and Duncan have been kind of swapping demos. And Ilse's like, hey, I really like this song, Arcade, that you just share with me. Mind if I share this with a couple of friends of mine at the network? And a couple weeks later, it's like, yeah, you want to do Eurovision? Okay. So really a very much an internal, that's exactly
how just like Duncan Lawrence.
Yeah. It's my Duncan Lawrence impression. Don't be here all night. I won Eurovision. I'm Duncan Moore.
Dude, you're trying to get an accreditation next year. This isn't helping your case.
I want to see the press delegation for Eurovision just go, all right, everything checks out except for what's this you did about Duncan Lawrence?
Rejected. But yes.
I won't sacrifice my craft for... Yeah,
So the year before that was this sort of hybridized
mm-hmm.
setup where it was Netta won Rising Star for Israel,
mm-hmm.
and they paired the song up with her later, so it was sort of half and half.
Mm-hmm.
The year before, Salvador Sobral with Amar Pelos Dois won in a traditional national final setting.
Mm-hmm.
So anything can really happen. I don't really think there's a right or wrong way to do it. As long as there's some expertise somewhere involved in the process, somebody who actually knows what they're doing, whether that is a jury or a delegation really kind of hand selecting a song with care and knowing that there's some meat behind the bones.
Some meat behind the bones.
Oh my god. Aww. Do you have a preference? I mean, I feel like for me that as I've gotten like really, really into Eurovision, that I've kind of come to really prefer the national finals just because that means there's more. That
yes.
There's like a whole bunch of little Eurovisions before the big Eurovision. So I think they should all do that, I guess.
I love it, but I only have so many screens that I can look at one particular moment.
I like the regionalist attitude. I love that everyone can do something a little bit different.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just fun to watch. I mean, especially in the Eurovision kind of fan community, those psychotics among us who watch everything that we possibly can get our hands on, as long as there's a decent feed online. So many of us look at the first national final of the year, which is traditionally Albania. They're first both alphabetically and chronologically. And Festival e Këngës, which is another national final that's been going on for actually longer than they've been participating at Eurovision. This festival's been going on since the 60s, and they only started at Eurovision in like 2004.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of history, a lot of culture, and it's become sort of this opening ceremony for the Eurovision year. Because it's at the end of December, many of us, you know, Festival e Këngës, so F-I-K, many of us refer to it as Fikmes.
Ah, Fikmes.
Fikmes.
Fikmes came early this
yes.
year.
Oh, yes. and it's a lovely tradition. And we also get to listen to Albanian pop music. That how often does that, you know, come to us? It's really very cool. And you know, then at the end of it, generally speaking, Melody Festival, the one we were talking about before, that is generally one of the last national finals to play. So it's this really cool bookend.
When does that usually happen?
Normally the middle of March to the end of March.
Ooh, that is late.
Yeah. Because all the songs have to be in by the head of delegations meeting, which is generally the end of March. So you have this 3+ month block where almost every weekend there's something going on, whether it's a final or a semifinal, and you get to hear all these amazing songs that will probably never be played on the radio in the United States, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just you find these little gold nuggets that you never would have expected to hear. It's like one of my favorite songs, like one of my favorite appointments, I guess you could say, in my Eurovision calendar is watching the Estonian national final, Eesti Laul. Because, I mean, I've fallen in love with Estonian music because of this.
That tends to produce some really, really great stuff that doesn't get picked.
Yeah.
And sometimes stuff that does, but
yeah.
More often I feel like stuff that's not.
Yeah. And that's the thing, like, only 40-some-odd songs make it to Eurovision every year, give or take. And there are literally hundreds, if not thousands, of songs that are submitted to national finals every single year. Not to mention the songs that are sent into internal selections as well, that maybe kind of bubble up to the surface. Somebody from the UK saying, hey, I sent this to the BBC and they didn't want it, so why don't I just play it for my friends on YouTube? And those songs don't go away. Just because a song doesn't win a national final, it doesn't mean it's dead. It's not, you know, erased from the universe and, you know, Thanos doesn't snap his fingers at the end of the universe, at the end of the year, and all these songs just disappear. it's kind of heartwarming. So, Eric, what have been some of your favorite national final songs that have kind of bubbled up?
I have a bunch of different Eurovision-related playlists, but I have one in particular for this exact thing, like national final songs.
Mm.
And this one's called Not Quite Eurovision, because it's not quite, you know, Eurovision. I would say my number one song that didn't make it is a song called Human Beings.
Yes.
From, I think, 2015 by a Norwegian gal named Karen Park.
Yes.
Who is
awesome.
Yeah. She's awesome. Pretty weird, but really awesome. Like the Norwegian Bjork.
Like Bjork? Okay, good. All right.
Yeah.
Same page immediately.
And interestingly, like she had kind of dabbled in Eurovision before. She actually wrote the song that Norway sent mm-hmm. to Eurovision in 2013 called I Feed You My Love. Now I can see. So good.
All right.
That That song was amazing.
Yes.
And human beings, I'm probably wrong about this, but in my heart, I feel like that song could have given Heroes a run for its money.
Mm.
It was really, really, really good. A few others that come to mind, it's either 2015 or 2016. Sam, I'm sure you know, but Cool Me Down from...
16, I think.
Okay. For those unaware, Cool Me Down is a song from Poland. It was, basically at the national final stage, a favorite to win, not just win the national final, but to win Eurovision.
Yeah.
And then it didn't make it. It just...
Cool down.
I guess something could cool her down. But it sounded just like an A-tier Rihanna song. I think it probably would have won if it had made it. That one was amazing.
What got sent instead?
That got Michael Schbach, Color of Your Life, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, yeah, it was Michael.
So here's what they could have sent. So that's what happens sometimes too. There were a good number of examples of those this year in particular. Is it time for Germany? Is it time to talk about Germany?
Let's talk about Germany.
Dear. All right. So we know what they did send. So how was this one selected? How was Sisters by Sisters selected?
That was a traditional national final.
Okay.
With sort of a three-part selection matrix, I guess you could say.
Three-part selection matrix.
Because there was a public televote, there was a jury, and then there was also a 100-member panel of Eurovision fans from Germany.
Right, so there were checks and balances.
So people who should know better.
Nothing should have gone wrong.
Yeah, there were some really solid songs in the national final this year for Germany. Wear Your Love by Allie Ryan.
Wear your love, just can't wear your love.
Yeah, that was
how
that was.
Right?
That was uncanny. That was
something like that. Yeah, that was great.
I haven't heard it, so
yeah. There were a couple others. There's an artist named Lily Among Clouds that had a song called Surprise.
Yeah.
That was really cool and interesting. I don't know that it would have done well like in a Eurovision setting because it was a little bit weird, but it was great. I was a fan of one called Our City by this kid named Linus Brun that was just sort of a fun bop sort of a thing. Those songs finished in some order third, fourth, and fifth, and it was not especially close. The televote was crazy for Sisters. I don't know. I feel like we need to do like another comparison. So like here's with respect to Danny, here's Wear Your Love.
It sounded just like me.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And here's what we got instead. And like, I don't know. I love national finals. I really do.
They can drive you crazy.
Did the Sisters themselves, did those two famous ladies have any special clout in Germany before doing this?
One of them was
the president, I believe.
Yeah,
under Angela Merkel.
Yeah.
She Angela Merkel signed it. She picked up the phone, called over to Berlin Central Broadcasting, and went, "You know what this to happen." She's Russian now. She's, you know what must happen. That's how it was. It was just like that. She spoke like a gay Municher. It's good. All right. Moving on.
No, Danny, keep going.
No, okay. All right.
And
she's eating a strudel on the Odeonsplatz. And she said, "I think you know what has to happen. The Sisters go through." And so the Sisters went through.
I mean, that's the only explanation that makes sense to me.
Yeah, basically. One of them is a backing singer for Lena Meyer Landrut, who won Eurovision in 2010. The other one, I think, was a winner of The Voice Kids, or was on The Voice Kids in Germany.
Okay.
But other than that, then
so
neither of them
knew about them, but
maybe.
There was no special reason.
It wasn't like they sent David Hasselhoff.
Yeah,
it wasn't,
okay.
You know.
I just want to point out, I'm looking at the Wikipedia page for one of the sisters, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she was a finalist in Germany's equivalent of America's Got Talent, which,
oh,
and this
DSDS.
Is the reason I bring this up. Is that it's called Das Super Talent.
Ooh,
yes.
Das Super Talent!
Yeah.
That's good.
That's all. That's all I had.
The strange thing was she had, like, Das Medium Talent.
I mean, neither of the singers were bad. Just the song was just kind of maudlin.
It was the song.
It was the song was maudlin.
And
I have nothing against them.
I think the combination of the two of them was an issue
as
well.
What came in second? What almost won instead
of them? So the second place one, I don't even remember this one either, but it's called The Day I Loved You Most. By Makeda?
I think it was
my favorite Judy Blume novel.
It was I can't even remember very well, I hate to say it. I was focused on about three or four other songs from that national final, Allie Ryan being the number one of those.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
But no, it's...
Selected by pure televote? Like, what happened there?
There is a jury vote and a televote that are equally weighed, kind of like regular Eurovision.
Mm-hmm.
I will note that Where Your Love did win
the fan. This is the three part.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. There's a Eurovision panel that's like is it international sort of thing?
There's 100 German fans.
Okay. 100 German fans.
Weird.
Then a jury that's, I don't know, smarter, quote unquote, than the Eurovision panel, whatever. And then there's the televote. The Eurovision panel, they know what's up. They love Where You're Love. But the international jury.
Was it an international jury or a domestic jury?
This says international jury,
okay.
So I'm guessing so.
I can't remember who was on.
Yeah. International jury, 12 points to sisters.
Just Dana International.
And then televote also by a good margin, 12 points to sisters.
Okay.
And I guess international jury was close. Sisters was ahead of Makeda by 1 point.
Hmm.
So if those had been switched, there would have been a tie between Sister and Makeda. And at which point, I guess I don't know what would have happened.
Hmm.
Mm.
But
sometimes, generally speaking, I say most ties are broken by the public vote. You know,
okay.
So the will of the people kind of goes through. But that really depends. That
mm-hmm.
can change.
So I guess this was a little bit closer than I thought, but I think in general, Germany, you done goofed.
This isn't the first time that Germany done goofed, though, and this, I think, is another great point in our little collection of when selection processes go wrong. Germany, back in 2015, they had a sort of setup where each singer had two songs in the running, and they've done that before. They had, yeah, it was a little weird, and they first had this sort of star search sort of setup where a newcomer, there would be a collection of newcomers, and then the top newcomer would go to the big national final. And then they would have all these singers, the one newcomer, and all these other established acts sing two songs, and each one of those acts gets one of their two songs picked. And then it got, like, through a series of votes, got winnowed down to two acts, one song apiece. In 2015, the final two came down to Andreas Kummert, who won, I believe it was a voice, the Voice of Germany or something along those lines, had this great sort of bluesy rock track called Heart of Stone. And he won the national final, that final duel, pretty convincingly over Anne Sophie, who was one of the newcomers who came through this sort of star search setup with her song Black Smoke. And everybody's like, all right, Andreas Kummert, congratulations, super, super happy. And then as they're handing him the trophy, he declines the invitation.
Oh, they're
going to
say
Eurovision.
Kanye rushed on the stage.
Tackles Kummert. Shoes go flying.
He straight up his like fingertips on the trophy and goes, psych, I'm not doing it.
Basically.
Okay.
It's like, you know what, I can't do this. He didn't expect to win, and he kind of had this breakdown, I guess you could say. Like, I can't do it, I can't do it. So Anne Sophie ended up going.
And what happened there?
She came in. Not only did the poor girl come in last, she got the infamous nil point.
Oh,
no
boy.
Points.
Yep.
That was rough. But, you know, how do you screen for that? I mean, an artist should go into the national final knowing there is a chance I could win this. And it was really heartbreaking. I still jam out to that song all the time. It's a solid little blues.
Whatever came of that guy?
I'm
is
not exactly,
he still...
I don't know. I'm honestly not sure. I haven't really been following too deeply. I think he may have had some issues, but I'm not
sure.
Up enough to really say
yeah.
either way. But the thing is, we have issues with national finals, but that doesn't necessarily mean that internal selections are immune to this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. We just don't see them in those cases.
Yeah.
We just see like, oh, they picked a bad song or whatever.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, they could have done this or they could have done that.
Yeah.
I'm looking at my not quite Eurovision playlist and seeing some of these other things. And I feel like we could do an entire episode on the 2017 Melody Festival. And
oh, yeah.
That was so astonishingly stacked.
Mm.
There are so many great ones in that. That's all. I just noticing that. I know, Sam, you and I each have songs that we really liked from Australia's national selection this year.
Oh, yeah.
That we wanted to see.
Which was really exciting because this is the first year that Australia even had a national selection.
Mm-hmm.
So
it was
all internal.
It was internal? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All internal. It was, the first couple of years in the contest. They were just kind of getting their feet under me. But now it's a big enough thing that they had a full-on national final.
Well, and that's kind of a prerequisite to a certain extent because I imagine it costs more to do a national final just in terms of broadcasting and things like that.
Yeah.
So that is probably a factor as well with especially some of the smaller countries.
Yeah. And budget is certainly a factor. I mean, I worked for 2 years with the Bulgarian delegation, and while there was always the desire to maybe do a national final, as they had done in the past, it is a major expense,
mm-hmm.
and there's a lot of negotiations with artists, with record labels, with all this stuff, so it's honestly just a little bit more streamlined to do a national final, not a national final, an internal selection, I mean. Anyway, actually, as I was trying to say before, though, internal selections can go FUBAR as well.
Yeah.
And normally we don't see it, but I remember one time, 2009, the Hungarians had a very interesting internal selection process where they had a song selected internally. They released it. Everybody was super happy until they realized that the song had actually been released about 8 years prior in English and somehow was the theme song to the Swedish version of Big Brother.
Sorry, what?
Yeah. And somehow that got through screening.
Turns out, Hungary's...
Yeah.
That's like... That's absolutely wild.
I know. It's
nuts. Like if Portugal just
brought, like, the theme song to the A-Team.
Or everywhere you look from Full House. in Portuguese, because this is Portugal.
Yes, yes, yes.
But that was enough for people, for no one to be like, I heard this before.
Where is this from?
I love them. That's great. There's encore. I love them. It's still shot in San Francisco. It's so weird.
What is happening?
Then thank you for being a friend from San Marino. Grazie per essere un amico.
All right,
they reach for song number two from their magical bag of songs.
From the bag of songs?
Turns out that one is just Freebird.
Okay, what's left in the bag of songs?
So song number two, they're like, all right, well, you know what? Our first plan came through, kind of fell through. Why don't we send you instead? And she's like, you know what? Looking at the scheduling, I would rather just focus on my theatrical career. Because she was a stage actress in Hungary. It's like, well, crap, there goes plan B. So they finally reached in the bucket, grabbed plan C, and I believe it ended up coming dead last in its semifinal.
Oh.
That was Dance With Me by Zoli Adok.
Mm.
I think he also won the Barbara Dex Award that year, which is the traditional award given to the worst dressed act of the year. Sorry,
the worst dressed act of the year?
Yeah.
Oh, do you not know the Barbara Dex?
I had no idea.
Oh, it was Portugal this year, right?
It's not fair. They were the best dressed. Are you kidding?
Conan Osiris, we love you.
Good friend of the podcast.
Good friend of the podcast.
Conan Osiris.
Send me your robe. Send me your costume that's made out of Joanne Fabrics, swatches, dyed, bleached, crazy white, and your triple stripe Adidas shoes. Just send them to me. I'll wear them for pajamas. It'll be great.
So fringy.
Yeah.
That was just the national final one.
We were
fringy. Anyone all green and pleaty.
Yes.
Oh. Conan, we love you. Anyway, But we'll talk about more in the Barber Dex Award. I think on another episode of the podcast.
Well, that'll be. I'm going to look at all of them.
But speaking of side contests, one of the favorite activities of Eurovision fans after the contest is over in May is something hosted by OGAE, which is the International Fan Club Organization.
Mm-hmm.
They have what they call a second chance contest. And all of the national fan clubs that held national finals will pick a favorite, a beloved song that fell by the wayside. And all the fan clubs will vote together and kind of relive some of the favorite also-rans from this year. And it's a great tradition. And it's a great way to kind of celebrate the songs that we all love and we wish were at the big show. But like I said, just because a song doesn't make it to the international level doesn't mean that they disappear. Love those songs, embrace them, celebrate them, jam out to them, crank the music, and roll down the sunroof and, you know, cruise around Lake Minnetonka singing Where Your Love. I know I do. Every day.
Every day.
Every day.
So it looks like, I was just curious, the 2019 version of that, the Second Chance Contest, has not happened yet?
It has not happened. I believe voting is currently ongoing. But there are some pretty good heavy hitters in this year's lineup.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at previous winners from previous years, you see some songs that, or some artists that eventually did pretty well later on. I believe Mon Zimmerle
won.
That would have been, 2007 with Open Glory?
2007 with Cara Mia.
Oh, Cara Mia.
Which is a great song, by the way.
Yeah.
Sanna Nielsen, who would represent Sweden in 2014, won the Second Chance Contest in 2008.
Was that with Empty Room?
With Empty Room.
Mm-hmm.
Margaret's Cool Me Down, the song that we mentioned as probably a front runner to win the contest if it hadn't shockingly not made it. That won. And I mentioned the 2017 Melody Festival, and a song from that won in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a great, if you're into this sort of music and you're into Eurovision, this is a really great thing to check out. If you want to take a little bit of a deep dive into like the next level beyond the contest itself, this is a great place to start. Start with Cool Me Down. Start with A Million Years by Mariette, which is the one from 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And then just go. Just go. Yeah.
Honestly, if you're on Spotify, you can generally find a good playlist of also rans. You know, just look up Eurovision Second Chance or Eurovision National Finalists and just play. There's a lot of great stuff in there, something for every taste, just like at the real major contest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, any contest that can give you hatari and opera and everything in between. Just imagine the depth and the breadth of what you find at the national finals.
Yeah. We should set up a Spotify, perhaps.
Yeah, that'd be
Spotify, set up some playlists so that friends of the show, all of you out there in podcast land,
mm-hmm.
just dip by Spotify and take a
listen, take a gander.
A nice master list of all the things that we're talking about.
I like that.
Yeah,
we should play with that. But in the meantime, you can reach out to us via social media on Facebook and Twitter at 12 Points USA. You can also email us. We have a Gmail account set up. Is that 12
from America
at gmail.com?
That's the one.
Sweet. We would love to hear from you. Not only, you know, let us know what your favorite songs are that didn't quite make it to the full international level, but just let us know what you're thinking. What are some topics that you want us to cover? Let's start a dialogue.
What other accents should Danny be doing on the show?
Yeah, give
let
me
us know on Twitter.
Let me know which accents you want me to give to which world leaders. I can do Tony Blair with a Boston accent.
Ooh.
If you really want to, it's going to be great.
Ooh, do that. Say that for the next episode.
Okay.
Yeah, keep that.
I will sign the Good Friday Agreement. That's Tony Blair. That's good.
Wow. That was a special moment.
Yeah, that's we better stop there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
been a pleasure as always.
Yeah. I am Eric.
I'm Samantha, I think.
And I'm Danny.
Among others.
Yes.
And America,
stop listening now.